said, proclaiming the resurrection of and return of Jesus. He's going to rise, and well, he has risen, and he's going to return. And as we look at this, we're looking at Peter. He's proclaiming the resurrection in the temple and to a temple crowd because he is just healed. This is actually a picture of the healing of the lame man at the doorpost of the temple. And as he went inside the temple, this lame man who used to sit there for year after year after year was now dancing and jumping around, and he was healed. So a crowd had gathered, and Peter was proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus to them. And he explained a number of things. He said, the miracle sign of the lame man given back his ability to walk and stand straight was not accomplished by the power of Peter or John. It was not by might or by power, but God's Spirit working through the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. So it was not by his power or John's power, and it wasn't by their godliness. That wasn't what did it. It wasn't any kind of supernatural power that they had of their own, but it was from the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord. The name of Jesus is the reason that this man was healed, and he was able to jump around and dance and give evidence and testimony that pointed people to Jesus to show that Jesus is alive. And this Jesus, who is a true witness, you see the names. The names are many. Strong Tower, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. There are just many, many names in the Bible for Jesus. But most of all, Peter was able to give that name to this man, and in faith, he was able to stand and give glory to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is glorified by God the Father through the resurrection and through his ascension into heaven. And Peter is saying that the God whom we know, the God of our ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, glorified Jesus. This is a picture of him being glorified. And though Jesus had been disowned by the very crowd gathered there in the temple who had cried out and said, give us not Christ, but give us Barabbas. Let Barabbas go, who's a condemned criminal, and go ahead and crucify Christ. The crowd had rejected him, and now in his name, the man in the temple is standing, dancing, moving around. Peter says, that's because of Jesus. Though you rejected him, God glorified him and chose him. And what God then does, even though Jesus was crucified in the cruelty of man, he has been raised to life, and this gives us a new opportunity. God is giving a new opportunity to all of us and to the people there in the temple, to the apostles, Peter and John, a new opportunity to experience faith in God and to live by faith and to trust God for what he was doing. And what this whole example of Peter and John is, we're issuing a call to faith in God. Trust the Lord for what he can do. And he's saying, repent. Your call is to repent, to be sorry for your sins, and to turn away from them and turn towards God. As John the Baptist was preaching to them in the wilderness, he said to the people of Israel, repent, get washed in the water, and be made clean, because you know you want to be made clean. So our cleanliness comes from the blood of Jesus, which makes us clean. And that's what Peter and John are saying to the people there gathered in the temple. Repent. This is the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord lasts all the way from the temple to our very day today. This is the same message we give to people. If you don't learn how to repent from your sins, you're not going to find your way to Jesus. You have to know that you have the need to be made clean, that God is holy and we are unholy. And the only way unholy people can be with a holy God is through the supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ. previous, the people of Israel had always practiced animal sacrifice in the temple. Even when Jesus was presented in the temple for the eighth day for his circumcision, they presented an offering of a dove. Because at that time, they're still practicing animal sacrifice before Jesus was crucified on the cross. And he put an end to all of that. God is calling us to do is trust in him. This is very hard to read, but it says trust the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yield to him, and you will experience times of refreshing and renewal. That's what this passage is all about. We're going to read soon. So pray with me. I'm just going to remind you what the passage says again. Acts 3:19-20 says, repent then, as Peter says to the people, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So what Peter is preaching is repent, be refreshed and renewed for forgiveness of sins, and then Jesus will come back. This day of the Lord is now, and it's 2,000 years long. And it's going to go on for many, many more years, perhaps, or it's going to end tomorrow, today, I don't know, when the Lord is going to return. But one day he shall return based upon our responding to him in repentance and faith, trusting him. So let us pray a moment. Dear God, we're going to turn to a passage now, Acts chapter 3, 11 through 4, about this story of Peter and John at the temple. And we pray that you may reveal your glory to us. May you help us to continually be in a status and posture of repentance each and every day. You call us, Lord, to be a people who are carrying our cross, recognizing that we are a broken and sinful people, that we often are subject to all of the sins that assail us. And we are asking you to continually give us your heart of mercy and love, and a heart which is open to you, which is always seeking you, Lord, and knowing that we are people who need to be taught to be good disciples. We are learning and growing under your care. This is what your Spirit is working in us now, a good work that will be completed when we meet you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. While the man who was healed held on to Peter and John because he had been healed, the people were astonished, came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade, part of the temple, the old temple that was eventually destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. But at this point, it still stood, and it was a place of gathering for the Jews. And they all gathered at Solomon's Colonnade because of this miracle. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why are you surprised? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate. Pilate had decided to let him go because he was innocent. Pilate couldn't find any guilt. You disowned the holy and righteous one. This is the Messiah now. He's saying, you have disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer, Barabbas, be released to you. You killed the author of life. Now, they're all living this. This is the history that they know. They've lived through this in the days of Jerusalem. Common knowledge. You killed the author of life. When you killed Jesus, you killed the author. That is a God statement. He's not saying he's some kind of person. Peter is declaring something that's profoundly true and profoundly explosive. You know, Jesus is God. He's not some kind of part of God. He's not a derivative of God. Or, you know, he's not a Jehovah Witness Jesus. He's not a Mormon Jesus. He's not a Muslim Jesus. He's a Christian Jesus. He is Jesus, the Lord of all. He says he's the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Peter and John saw it happen. They were the first ones at the tomb. It was empty. I mean, after they've been summoned there by the women, who were actually the first ones at the tomb, and they came and saw, and Jesus rose, and they were encountering him in all kinds of ways. Verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong, trusting in Jesus' name. We've not seen Jesus, we've not met Jesus, but we trust him that he is the name by which man, women, all of us can be saved. So this man was made strong through the name of Jesus. It is Jesus' name, faith that comes through him, that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. That's the problem with sin. When we're sinning, we're acting in ignorance. It's when we wake up and realize we're fighting God's design and nature to make us righteous and holy, to have us live a life that we're supposed to live. You acted in ignorance. Your leaders acted in ignorance, thinking you were doing the right thing. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. He would suffer. He would die. But then he would be raised again. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. In other words, Jesus will be in heaven, residing there until he returns again. And so we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Verse 22, for Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Moses, the ancient prophet, the man from many, many hundreds of years ago, made a prophecy, which we believe in the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, which were the Old Testament. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. He's raised him up, Peter's saying. Peter's saying, your Messiah has come. This Jesus is a Jew. He's one of you. He's a Jewish prophet. He's a Jewish Messiah. Listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. This is a deciding moment. Either he is your crowning cornerstone, or he is the stone cast off. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken and foretold these days, and you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. This is Jesus. Through him, all the earth can be blessed. Every single person, every tribe, tongue, and nation. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you. When God raised up Jesus, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Chapter 4. So they've gathered a crowd and they've been preaching, and now the authorities are getting worried. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a lot in this passage. Beautiful. But I'm just going to say a few words about it, really. So Peter is proclaiming the resurrection to the temple crowd. He's explaining a number of things. First of all, the miracle sign of the lame man giving back his ability to walk and stand straight was not accomplished by the power or godliness of Peter or John, as I was saying before. It came about through and because of the name of Jesus. Peter's proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. And he's explaining, the God whom we know and we believe, we Jewish people, we people of the temple, we believe him as a Jewish God, the God of our ancestors Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He glorified Jesus, saying, so this is God at work. God, our God, has glorified Jesus because Jesus is worthy of glorification, because we believe and trust in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who's moving as one God, who's only one God, whom we worship. And Peter and John are saying, this is what I'm explaining to you. He is at work in this. Although Jesus had been disowned by the very crowd gathered now before and around Peter, and though they had caused Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be crucified, God had allowed a new opportunity to come about because of faith. He's asking us to trust in him. Jesus Christ's glory is being revealed. It was revealed in the Gospel of John to the disciples as he conducted his miracles, turned water into wine, he raised Lazarus from the dead, he created bread and food out of loaves and fishes for everyone to eat, he calmed the storm. Jesus' glory was being revealed. And Jesus said to them himself in John, says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The only reason Jesus can be glorified, raised from the dead, is by the power of God. And the only way he can be glorified is because he's the Messiah. He is the one who's come for us. The time is now to trust in him. And so, the same message, again, we've been repeating before, is Peter is talking about repentance to them. And he's saying, you need to repent, and you need to turn to God's way. Turn from your sinful ways to God's way now. And what will happen is when you yield to Jesus Christ, times of refreshing and renewal will come. And what Peter and John are doing is they're standing on the reality of God's power. God's power has just been evident in the man who was raised healed from being lame. The man who could not walk. Power of God has just shown itself. Not Peter's power, not John's power. God's power working in him. God's power raising Jesus from the dead. God's power allowing us to believe and trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And they're standing on not only the power of God, but God's promises made through history and time, made to God's people, prophesied about through all of these prophets, Samuel all the way through Isaiah and Malachi at the end of the Old Testament, that God is going to move in time and history. He's going to move and he's going to be seen. And he's saying, our message is built on those promises. And they, Peter and John, fully believe that God in history and their experiences test that the fulfillment of the ages is upon them. That this is a special moment found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ does become the hinge of history. Jesus becomes the turning point for everything. He is the fulfillment of all the promises, and in Jesus we're going to find new life, and we're going to be brought to heaven, which we long for. We long for the culmination and the resolution and the final fulfillment. And Jesus is it. He says, Jesus is it. Peter is not making any apology for this. He's saying, it's now or never, really. He's saying it's now or never. You've got to realize what Jesus is. He is alive. And Peter and John dare to do this. They dare to stand there in that crowd in the temple and say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they're willing to dare and stand in front of the Sadducees and the priests and the captain of the temple guard, whatever. All the authorities. They're going to stand there in front of the authorities. These fishermen. These lowly men from the shores of Galilee. From the outer province. From the outer island. These guys from Oniop, you know. These guys from some tiny place out there in the midst of nowhere. The people who are come from the outback of Australia, or they come from the rednecks of USA or whatever. They're standing in front of the authorities and they're saying, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus has come. It's now. He is the one who is worthy to be followed. And they're saying, God is at work. This is God moving. He's moving among us in the greatest of ways. This is profound. This is powerful. He has not only done the miracle of raising Jesus from the dead, who is then witnessed by those who believe and trust in him. He doesn't show himself to everyone. Because what the church is going to do, what we do is we proclaim, this is faith, Presbyterian Christian Reformed Church. We believe in faith. We believe that we do it by trusting in God. That God is at work in Jesus Christ to bring us new life and healing and forgiveness and put our broken pieces together. Even though we may feel like we're shattered all over the ground, we may feel like our tin roofs have been blown off, our you know, everything's been soaked in the floodwaters, the wind has blasted everything to pieces, but God will heal and restore. He will rebuild. He will rebuild your life. He will give you times of refreshing and renewal. God is at work. And God is moving among us in the greatest of ways. That's what Peter and John are recognizing. And what he's doing is the best thing possible for us. And he will, God will, by his power, he will take us and make us the best people we're supposed to be. He will take heroin addicts and give them sobriety. He will take rampant alcoholics and put them back on a path of healing and restoring. He will take hard-hearted atheists and make them believers and lovers of God. He can do it all because he's at work. And what he's calling us to do is join God in his work today. The calling for us is to discern where God is at work. Where is he moving today? And join him in what he is doing. Align your lives with him as the best of your ability. And there is another proof for John and Peter that's here today among us that proves that Jesus is the turning point of history. You see, Orthodox Jewish believers have no Messiah. They will tell you there's no Messiah has come. There are people through history, through since Jesus' time to now, who have said, I'm Messiah, but they've got no one. I know there's a Jewish group down in New York City. They had a rabbi named Schneerson. They thought he was the Messiah, and he died. He died on them. So they took his brownstone house out of New York, and they rebuilt it in the nation of Israel. And they believe that Rabbi Schneerson is going to come back to that brownstone house and usher in the Messianic age. They still don't have a Messiah. Because Peter and John are saying, your Messiah is now. He's come in Jesus. And we're saying to anyone who will hear, to Jewish and non-Jewish people, your Messiah, Jesus, has come. He is here. He is here today. He is here in his resurrected, risen power. And he's present among us by his Holy Spirit to witness and testify to us that God is alive and he's moving among us. In his sermon, Peter says to them, indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. We're living in the days of the Messiah now. He's come. And this is the day of salvation, and that day extends all the way from their time to our time and into the future, as long as God is going to give us a future. And he's saying, you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. You are heirs. And that's a great privilege. The covenant was made between God and his people. And there's a way in which there's a blessing that goes with that. But there's also a calling and a challenge. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he raised up Jesus, born in Bethlehem, born to the mother Mary, who lived in Nazareth with his carpenter father and his family, had brothers and sisters there, was a Galilean. He raised up until the day when he started to preach. And he said, this Jesus, who God raised up, has sent him to you first. And Jesus said, my first mission is to the Jews. He preached to Samaritans. He preached to non-Jews. But he said, my first mission is to the people from whom I come, the heirs of the promises and the covenant. But his call is the same. His call to them and his call to us is exactly the same. Turn, each of you, from your wicked ways. Turn away from your sin and give your life to God. Let Jesus be your Lord. Let him be your Savior. Let him lead you on. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we sing about a God who's our help in ages past. Lord, we sing that song recognizing that many people have lived through many typhoons on this island. And yet life goes on. There's a community and a society here, and we have better abilities to respond and recover to storms, Lord. We've better built buildings, but we still have the same spiritual need, Lord, to call in your name and be saved. We thank you that we here in Faith Church can continue to witness Jesus Christ, continue to give thanks to Peter and John, speak to us, speak to our hearts. And you may help all of us as we go home to help our neighbors and our friends and family recover, experience full recovery ourselves, restoration from the anxiety and trauma of a storm, that we may continually share and have great sympathy, for we all have the same needs, Lord. And essentially, we are human, and we know that in our humanity we have the greatest need of all, which is for Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for this marvelous gospel message, for this wonderful word that was shared with us through this book of Acts, through the entire Old Testament, that Jesus, by his stripes, by his suffering, brings us healing and renewal. And thank you, Lord, that in Jesus we can live our best life. We experience the wonderful fruits of the Spirit, a self-disciplined life which is dedicated to giving you glory and honor. Lord, may you be with us today and now in coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.